The bumpy road to Full Gear makes its final stop at Daly's Place, and that means it's time for Elite of the Week.
Elite of the Week.
Usually I use this time to chat about what we are going to talk about and what's going to happen, but today we don't have time because today is both a review show and a preview show for Full Gear. So I want to get things going right away. I want to bring in my partner. He is the man that doesn't need the power of a yellow sun to get supered. Let's hear it for Flo Bo Boyce. How you doing, Flo Bo?
Man, fantastic. Everything tournament earlier today, Elite the Week right now. It's already a fantastic week and it's only Wednesday.
Yeah, I was a bit frazzled on everything tournament. I had technical issues. I was dealing with all sorts of stuff here, and I had someone say that my coif was melting. I'm still trying to get over that, Flobo. Yeah. I'm a little frustrated. I'm also as you can see, maybe I am working with a different setup here. I'm still trying to figure out I'm still trying to figure out how this is all looking and how it's all presenting itself here on my screen. I can't get certain things to work, but that's just how it is. Sometimes you got to fight through these difficulties here, and we will. But I want to start off just by kind of first asking you, Flobo, what were your overall thoughts of this episode? I felt a little bit like I feel like they were playing it a little safe today, if I'm totally honest. It felt like they were kind of holding back a little bit. Usually I'm all gushy, but this one felt a little bit like it felt like Full Gear was supposed to be last weekend and not this weekend.
Well, that's kind of the disadvantage of having so few pay-per-views. Not saying it should have more for the sake of having them, but sometimes your stories are great. You just need to get to the show because we have so many things happening with the MGF stuff, with the Sammy Guevara stuff, and even more stuff. That today's episode of Dynamite was in a bit of a holding pattern. A little bit last week was too, but it was a solid 2 hours, especially on this side of the Wednesday Night War. I dug it. We got some time for your boy Ricky Starks to do a promo. That's all positives in my book.
So something I want to do today, as I said at the top, we are doing a little bit of review, obviously, for what happened on AEW Dynamite. But clearly the story here today is, and clearly what everyone wants to talk about is Full Gear. Full Gear's coming up, but I'm not just going to talk about the matches, Flo, but I'm going to have a little bit of fun with you. I'm going to play a little game with you here. I read an article that was up on What Culture, obviously a great place to see some wrestling news and things. Good friends over there. Simon Miller, by the way, friend of the show.
Oh, you're like besties with them. I saw that interview you did a couple months ago.
Yeah, if I've talked to you, you are considered a friend of the show, just so you know. Whether you watch the show or not, once I've made eye contact with you, you're a friend of the show. That's the rules. But they had 10 things that must happen at Full Gear. And I want to go through these with you as we go through the show, not all at once, but as we talk about the show, I'm going to pitch these things to you. I'm going to give you what they said, and I just want to see if you agree. I want to know if you agree with their take. And for anyone watching, feel free to go over to What Culture and read the article. I'm reading the headlines, not the whole thing. There's a lot of juicy morsels within the article, but we don't have time to read it verbatim. So I'm just going to talk about a few things. The first one I want to talk about is kind of a big overall thing, and that is, does it need to be shorter than All Out? And I don't remember exactly how long All Out was, but I think what they're alluding to is there's been kind of a push to see these super shows shortened a little bit. Do you believe that they need to shorten it?
I think the answer is yes, but not an emphatic yes. Now, up in Stanford, there have been shows that lasted 5 hours long. Those definitely need to be cut. And that's actually one of the benefits of this modern era of having pay-per-views come in and out in 3 hours, which was the norm, but now it feels easy breezy. AEW wasn't quite like that because, again, they had such few pay-per-views and the roster was a little bit smaller. But now you have a lot more guys in rotation with Dark and even some special events now. I think you can get away with having a shorter show. Short is better, short and sweet, get in, get out, leave them wanting more. It gives you more storytelling stuff as the weeks go on. But I'm not going to stand there and complain if it's a 4-hour show. I'm not going to like get the torches and pitchforks and ask for Tony Khan if it's going to give me more value for my pay-per-view dollar.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think with sports, it's a little different, but I relate it to my rule with movies. And with movies, I always say it's okay if you're longer than 2 hours, but if you are, every second needs to mean something. And I kind of feel that way with pay-per-views, but with the 3-hour mark. I think you can go up to 3 hours and it's great. You can go over 3 hours, but that means everything needs to be great. You can't have a bunch of filler matches and garbage and things you could throw on a weekly program. It needs to all be the main course, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of main course, let's dive right in. Let's just get to the juiciest part of the meat here. And that is always going to be when we talk about the AEW Heavyweight Championship of the World. We didn't see a match from either of these two. We just saw a couple of guys having a conversation. Just having a conversation, just talking, talking it out. I thought the first thing I took away from this, this was a great promo, but the first thing that came to mind was they talk so much about how Tony Khan said they're not allowed to touch each other. And the first thing they do is just put their faces together. Like, forget you, TK. I'm going to get in this guy's face. I'm going to go through this guy's face. But I thought this was a really, really good promo. I feel like these guys, it just felt like this. It felt like hatred that was really boiling up from under the skin. That was really, really heated. And that's a hard thing to do with someone who is, you have one guy who's a champion, been a champion for 8 months now, destroying everybody, and another guy who has only had a handful of matches, is relatively new to AEW, but also not the biggest free agent signing in the world when it happened. I feel like they did a really good job with this, and they made me really want to see what happens. How did you feel about this promo, Flobo?
It's funny. I guess I didn't put two and two together with the nose to nose, but you're right. I could imagine Tony being like in his throne backstage, being like, "It's off." I specifically said not to touch you. It's canceled. No title, man. That was pretty cool. It was kind of a tease there because they were talking like the telenovelas where like one guy was behind the other being like, you ain't nothing. I thought that was pretty interesting. But
yeah,
you know what? I am exhausted with contract signings and I'm exhausted with 20-minute promos to go anywhere. This was actually fresh for what it was. It was just two guys that said, look, in Moxie's case, I'm the champion for a reason. I'm the head of the brand for the reason. And Kingston being like, no, but I am the Mad King, and I'm going to show you the reason why on Sunday. I still think Mox walks away with it, and I'm jumping ahead with predictions, but it's going to be a fun ride. I know. I'm sorry. It's going to be a fun ride.
Yeah, I've said before, this match isn't about who wins. It's about what happens, and I loved some things that Moxley said. I like how he said that Kingston made a promise to his mother that he can't keep, and you could just feel like that dug under his skin. I think this is going to be one of those matches that you have to tune in and see. Again, I feel like we all are putting our money on the favorite here, and the favorite's always the champ, so it's the favorite's Jon Moxley. But I feel like you have to watch, because this is an I quit match between two guys I just cannot imagine saying I quit to. And in fact, these are two guys that I can't imagine saying I quit, even if you're choking out their brothers, if you know what I'm saying. I can't imagine either of these guys saying, I quit. I have a feeling it's going to be bloody. I have a feeling it's going to be massively gross. I have a feeling the people who love death matches are going to be all about this one. I'm with you. I think Jon Moxley retains because he always retains. The champ's the champ. You don't ever bet against the champ, people. That's how you keep your money. That's how you do good in Vegas. Just keep betting on the champ.
I have a question. Do you think that someone's going to say, I quit, or it's going to be like a pass-out victory in your opinion?
They said it has to be I quit, because the whole thing is built off the fact that Kingston didn't say I quit. He passed out last time. So if he passes out, it's going to be... It's going to feel a little bit like a bait and switch on the old.
Right. That's my question. You think they'll do that? I think that's a possibility. I was like, no, it's going to happen to end here.
I think he's going to say, I quit. I think it's going to be a big moment. I feel like AEW has, and their wrestlers and their competitors have always done a really great job of delivering. And if the rule is to win, you got to make someone say, I quit. I just can't imagine John Moxley going into that ring without the idea of making Kingston say, I quit. I don't think Moxley wants him to pass out. I don't think Moxley wants him to walk away. I don't think Moxley wants him to find a way around it. I think he wants to hear the words, I quit, come from Kingston's mouth. Now, if Kingston's smart, he's not going to say the words, I quit, in a promo backstage. That'd be detrimental if it got played again later.
Yeah. Hey, what happened to that app? I quit it. Damn it.
So this brings me to the second thing that what Culture said must happen. This must happen. John Can I Mox, say, yeah.
I was going to say, there's no author on this article, by the way. I wish there was, but continue.
Yeah, I look for that. What Culture? How are you not giving your writers the credit? You should be crediting these people. Their name should be up top, right there.
Credited.
Writer.
Yes.
Credit. Because I want to reply via Instagram with my thoughts. But John Moxley retains. Is that a must happen?
It is not a must happen. If Kingston won, that's what I would book it, just for the shock value. Anything can happen. And I think Eddie Kingston can be a good champion because he can talk a good game. But it most likely that John Moxley will retain. I don't think it must. Wrestling is never like that on rails, unless you have somebody who has lost so many times or had so many opportunities, a la in NXT. There's the curious case of Johnny Gargano, somebody who's been around and he's lost so many number one contenders matches. You're like, oh, he has to win. But I would never walk into something being like, oh, John Moxley has to win a match. He will, though.
Yeah, I think a lot of these, you hit the nail on the head with the must thing. Most of the time, yeah, you're right. You don't must have to do anything. But I also can appreciate when you write an article, you got to have a buzzworthy headline. And if it was things that'd be kind of cool, no one would read it. So
right.
You got to have it be a little more catchy. That said, I kind of think he does. I don't know if Eddie Kingston, I think Eddie Kingston could sell tickets to any show he's headlining, but I don't know if we get enough difference out of Eddie Kingston from John Moxley. It would feel a bit like it's kind of the same thing. As we had, because John Moxley and Eddie Kingston are very similar in that way, and they're very passionate, they're very angry, they're very do anything to win kind of people. True. And I just think that I don't know. I don't know if we'd all walk away feeling happy with an Eddie Kingston win. Though sometimes the bad guys win. That's why I bet on them all the time. That said, I want to, and I'm terrified of bad guys. But I do want to take a quick moment to give a shout out to everyone in the chat for joining us, whether it's Haywood, whether it's Monge, whether it's Charlene, everyone else who joins us. We appreciate you guys so much for joining us, as always. And this is the part, your favorite part, where I beg you pretty please, give us a like, give us a comment, give us a subscribe, share it with your friends, especially those 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. That's right, we're on Apple Podcasts, because this is a true legit show. Only true legit shows get put up on Apple Podcasts, people.
How many legit shows are there then?
But there's very few. Very few. It's a very
material. That's it. Yeah.
It's a very exclusive group. Not many podcasts are on Apple these days. That said, I want to go on and I want to talk about something that happened today. And it was a tag team match, Private Party, your favorite tag team versus the Young Bucks. And that leads me, of course, to talking about the AEW Tag Team Championship, FTR versus the Young Bucks. So far, our predictions are the same. We both predicted John Moxley, but now we get to the second match. Are the predictions going to be the same? I don't know. We'll see. My first question, though, before we move on from Private Party is, Flobo, was beating the Young Bucks in the tournament a year ago the peak of Private Party?
Yes, and they're not my favorite team. They are not my favorite team. Don't do this to me, Jack. How dare you claim Brooklyn after the fact? Okay. I feel like a year ago.
Brooklyn.
A year ago, I had a little bit of like, hey, these guys are in the mix. I felt like these guys cannot necessarily be the championship and number one contender, but definitely be the highlight, the show stealer on the card, which is very, very important. Now what I'm seeing now, they're just there to advance storylines, which is not bad. I'm not going to use a J word because it will get wins. I think they will get wins, but I really felt this was just to set up another dust up between the Bucks and FTR. And the match is this Saturday or this weekend. And I understand that a lot's riding on it, especially if you're the Young Bucks, but these Young Bucks have new attitudes that we'll get to predictions in just a second. But I'm thinking more now than ever that Private Party could be possibly donezo as far as being a threat in this division.
So you won't use the J word, but you'll call him Dunzo.
Because they'll get wins. They'll get wins. Although they'll even win like the quick angles with new teams, but they'll never. Their ceiling is hit.
So if you're Matt Hardy and you're managing them and you're trying to take them to the next level, what do you tell them?
Give up, bro. No. if you're trying to manage a team, like let's say they're bringing you in and you're Matt Hardy, I mean, all you can do is like be yourself because the whole too extreme stuff. But like Matt's not even doing that. So like I understand having the veterans with the new guy that's very AEW, but I don't quite understand what Matt Hardy is going to get out of it. He's not extreme. He's just himself. I really wish Private Party took some of that element. It became more bruisers, not to the point of proud and powerful, but shows you could do a lot more than just that. Much like how the Best Friends did over the summer, right? Just shows you can do it on the other side of it. I think as long as they're being presented as flat characters, and again, sorry for all the WWE references, but it reminds me of when Matt Sydal was in WWE as Evan Bourne. He was essentially one move. He was shooting star press guy. You know, I can't think of an angle, or I can't think he was with Kofi, but he was just shooting star press guy. And then what happened? One day, Randy Orton just took him out the sky, and that was it. So I worry with Private Party because if you guys are your win loss record is kind of teeter tottering, weebly wobbly, or what have you, and you're still doing the fancy high flying stuff, it can get old really fast.
So, yeah, you make a few good points. I do want to come to Matt Sydal's defense and say he does have the best shooting star press of all time. And I also got to come to his defense, and that RKO was chef's kiss. I mean, come on. Yeah. Of course you'd be done after that. That might be the best one of all time. That's but up there. But yeah, I feel like they definitely need something. I don't know whether it's, hitting the weight room. I don't know whether it's getting some new outfits. I don't know whether it's maybe getting the power of a crowd behind them again, but they definitely need something to get that momentum that they had back. Cause it's starting to become very difficult for them. They're starting to fall into the old Butcher and the Blade category, I think, where they're perceived as a threat, but their win-loss record says otherwise.
Right.
Someone who was a threat, though, was FTR. FTR comes out today, and they work some more on that injured ankle of Matt Jackson. I loved this, Flobo. I thought that FTR was incredibly smart by taking advantage. That's what you do when you're champion, especially when the Bucks have already stacked the cards against themselves so much. But I feel like where they kind of missed the mark here was that they could have injured Nick's ankle instead of just double injuring Matt's ankle. Am I crazy for thinking why not hurt them both instead of hurt one?
I think both strategies are fair play. You eliminate one guy, incapacitate him, you're playing with a broken wing, you have the advantage. You take out both guys, yeah, that way work too, but if you can focus on your energy to make sure there's no one to hot tag, there's no one to do those double super kick parties with, I'd rather ensure one person's out of the equation than to beat someone up and give them the opportunity to claw their way back with grit and resolve, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's probably what we're going to see here. Now, they have said that they will not challenge for the titles should they lose this match. I have been a critic of the Young Bucks for a long time. Yeah. I don't like the way they say they're the best tag team in the world when they're not the AEW champions. They haven't been the AEW tag team champions for as long as the company has been in existence. I don't like it when teams can't win titles yet say they're the best. And here we have Matt Jackson hurt. They were told that it would be a coin flip whether or not he would be ready for full gear medically. Yet here he is in another match. And frankly, Flobo, I think this is the bravado that's going to be the undoing of the Young Bucks. And at this rate, none of the elite guys will ever be able to be world champions because they're giving these opportunities away because they've bought into their own hype.
I think you're absolutely correct. FTR is not my favorite tag team, and it's been that way for a long time. Doesn't matter where in the car they are, but they've earned their spot. They have showed up. They have come with a certain kind of physicality that is befitting of being one of the best tag teams in the world, as evidenced by them holding those two pieces of silverware. But the thing is about the Young Bucks is it's kind of late. It's kind of sus, as they say in that game. I suck at. They're coming for a champion. Yeah, I know. I'm terrible. I'm not an apostle. Are coming for the championships now. I mean, I don't see them on any other path of winning it. Only because the stipulation was mentioned is the only time I'll give them a 5% chance, 10% chance. But had this been any other time of the year, FTR would have had this match in a runaway.
Flobo, I don't like that you naysay the FTR because they may not be the flashiest guys in the world. I get it, but they're great. They win. They win matches. Sure, they don't do flipping pile drivers and they don't do Frankensteiners, but they win matches. Sometimes the teams that play good defense are the ones that win all the time. And I think we should still appreciate good defense. Just like I think when you watch football, you should appreciate the guys on the line. You know, you should appreciate the people that do the dirty work. You should appreciate people who get rebounds in basketball. Sure, it doesn't look as flashy as the person scoring the points, but do you think maybe you should appreciate FTR a little bit more? That's what I'm saying.
If you heard what I said, Jack, I said they aren't my favorites, but I can't knock them. So I appreciate the heck out of them. Do I like them? No. Do I love them? Heck no. But I can appreciate things from afar. Not like a piece of artwork over there, like my Mr. Met in the corner.
I don't like that art, but I will say
no one does. That's why I got the only one.
Even Mr. Met's embarrassed.
All right, just doing that.
I'm trying to find a way to rework the letters FTR to say favorite and then tie you into it somehow, but I can't do it. I don't have the mental capacity to do it. So I'm just going to move on to another thing that What Culture said. They said the Young Bucks must pull it off.
I think so. They must. They won't. They will not, but I think so. You've told me that the Young Bucks are one of the best tag teams in the world. You're their biggest fan, but I have yet to see it at this certain level. They've been kind of in the background for so long, and even though I love the new attitude, it did seem like it was ad hoc for this purpose, for this matchup, to see this new flavor of Young Bucks to do it. So, again, I would have FTR six ways from Sunday, but the fact they're saying the stipulation will never challenge, I'm going, I don't know. Now, if they lose this weekend, I'm fine with it. The tag team division was fine. It was stacked without them being in the title hunt. It's not that big of a loss. But you can't have the Young Bucks and Cody with the same random stipulation that are both self-inflicted when it's all said and done.
Yeah, this one felt – the stipulation feels so forced. It feels so random. At least with Cody, it was done – as a means to get the shot in the first place. But the Young Bucks already had the shot. It was like they were already on that path and then they just threw it in. So it feels, yeah, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of it. I don't know why they wouldn't. I do know why they don't want another shot. It's because, like I've always said, Flobo, they're scared. They know they are outmatched and they're outgunned. Wow. They're just trying to find an excuse to not have to come back. It wouldn't shock me if Matt's ankle was just fine, but he's already trying to find ways to justify not being able to back up the 15 years of claims of being the best tag team in the world. Matt Jackson, I'll give you credit. You're smart enough to come up with that, but I see through you. You're not the best. You got to have the titles to be the best. And until that happens, you're not the best.
Exclamation point, man.
So let's move on. The show closed out with an interesting main event this this evening, but it led us to building up some momentum to the AEW TNT Championship, Cody versus Darby Allin. This was a weird match. I think I'll be honest. I said before the show started, without Cody involved, this felt a little bit like the kind of match you would see on AEW Dark. Of course, Cody is such a huge star that once he's out there, that makes it seem like a bigger deal. But I got to say something, and I don't like to naysay. I don't like to nitpick. I don't like to say. I don't like to put wrestlers down. But Flobo, I think I've had enough of Darby Allin. I think I'm over it. He has these montages about once a month that make no sense to me. They don't really tell me anything about him or what he's doing or what he wants. He sits up in the rafters doing nothing. And we get a promo from Cody tonight. It felt like Cody had to say Darby Allin's promo for him to help sell this match. Because at the end of the day, yes, it's going to be a great match, but you got to sell the tickets, right? You got to make me want to see the match. We've heard nothing from Darby Allin. He's presented nothing. It felt like Cody himself had to say, okay, I know Darby thinks that the company doesn't want him. Darby thinks that no one believes in him. Okay, end Darby's promo. Now I'll do my promo. I believed in you. I brought you here, but you're not the guy. Why can't Darby speak for himself or present something instead of just sitting in the back? Am I being too harsh on the guy?
That's a hard one, because I feel like you're being too harsh on him right now in this angle with Cody. But everything you've mentioned has been problems with that Darby Allin character since he debuted, I guess I have to say. It's been some time. And if you look back to most of the angles he had, it's usually everyone else being frustrated about Darby Allin, saying, oh, you got the best of me this week. This time it's going to be different. How many times can you come on the top of the ramp with a skateboard? Darby Allin's one of those characters that really does benefit from having a crowd. And without a crowd, it seems like something's incomplete. What does Darby Allin want? And it doesn't help that when Cody is telling him about himself, basically putting the human element to this title match, not just having two competitors go at it, why Cody feels he deserves to put it on the line and why they will have a match, to have Darby look bored or despondent in the crowd raises a bunch of questions. Now, the match itself is going to be flames. It's going to be hot, yeah. You know? Yep. But it does make me wonder. I'm not quite done with Darby, but I need something quickly to have me latch on to want to wish this guy well, or if he turns heel, to watch him get beat up. And we haven't seen that in a while.
I mean, I try to imagine, okay, if he's the champion, what does he do? He just drives around in black and white? He just rolls around on skateboard ramps? Like, what am I supposed to get behind? What am I supposed to hate, or what am I supposed to get behind with this? Yeah. Especially as I see guys, and I don't want to jump ahead, but as Taz said earlier, why isn't Ricky Starks on the card? Ricky Starks is working every single week on Dark and Dynamite. He's doing commentary. He's got everything you'd want. I don't know why. He's cleaning the floors. He's setting up the ring. He's taking everyone's dry cleaning in. He's doing it all.
Give him a shot.
But he's not on the show. And then you have this guy, Darby Allin, who's busting out a window and then driving a car in the woods. Well, let me put it this way. If you took off Cody's the mask that was being worn that looked like Cody's face, what would you think this was trying to accomplish? You could put anyone's face on there. It's a complete, and it's generic. It looks cool, but I've seen this style shot about 10 times now.
Yeah, it's funny with the professional wrestling, because a lot of fans will sit back and say, hey, this person's here every week or works every week. Why not give them the opportunities? And I think Ricky Starks is due, even though the reason why Darby Allin's in the card, because they're booking him as, I hate using that word, they're presenting him as an attraction in that mid-card. You don't want to see Darby Allin matches every week because the formula is easy to tell with Darby Allin because he has certain limitations of his size, certain limitations of his character work, and he's not going to cut a promo quoting words in dictionary like Luchasaurus. That's his gimmick, right? So I understand trying to use him sparingly, and I get why I could be frustrated. Why does he get a title shot? But at the same time, because he's so aloof and because he doesn't appear all the time, this actually might be pretty cool for the TNT Championship. I think Cody will retain, but in the off chance he does not retain, having someone who is always in the rafters, who doesn't say much, but has the gold, opens up possibilities in storytelling.
I think it'll tear the house down. I think it'll be great. I think Cody always has match of the night contenders, and I think Darby Allin's great in the ring. I just want more. I want to see something from him. I want to know who he is. I want to take him out to get coffee. I want to chat about what his future plans are. Where does he see himself 5 years? I want to ask him those kind of questions. The important questions.
You want to speed date Darby Allin?
I want to speed date Darby Allin.
Bloodless chaps. All right.
Darby Allin, will you speed date with me?
Yes, I
will. So if I paint my face the other half, then we'll complete each other's.
Oh, that would be adorable. That would be adorable.
It would be so good. And then, because if you take a picture on one side, it would look like we both have full face paint. And if you take a picture on the other side, it looks like we're not wearing face paint.
I'm in, man. I want to see it happen.
Let's do this.
Love is love, bro.
Love is love. So we're clear on the predictions, you predict Young Bucks are going to win.
No, I predict the FTR is going to retain, and then the Young Bucks are going to be okay with not having the opportunity to challenge again.
Okay, so we're equal. We're on even grounds there. And then this one, you say you think
Cody will retain.
Cody retains. I think so too. I think we're in agreement here. But now it's on to what culture they say. Arn Anderson must cheat on Cody's behalf.
Yeah, sure. I agree. He must do it. Because you know what? I was this afternoon or this morning when I read the article, I was like, no. But that promo Cody did seemed awfully heelish. Seemed very, very edgy. They could send Cody in a direction, maybe make him a true tweener. So, why not? Why not have Arn cheat?
You know why?
Has to happen.
I think someone else might cheat on Cody's behalf. I think old Arn might get tossed aside. I think that Dusty Rhodes blood inside Cody might be boiling at the idea that he's friends with Arn Anderson right now, remembering the old Horseman days, remembering what Ric Flair did to his dad, breaking his arm and his ankles. I have a feeling that all this time Cody might have been waiting for the chance to get revenge on Arn, of all people.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. It is very interesting.
I'll give him revenge on pay-per-view.
look, you don't get the money to start a company without knowing when to put their stuff on pay-per-view.
Fair.
Speaking of which, we're going to talk about Kenny Omega and Hangman Adam Page on the pay-per-view. So we'll save that for later. No, on Patreon. No.
I was like, what? Subscribe to learn more.
Next up, we got the AEW World Title Eliminator Tournament Finals. Kenny Omega versus Hangman Adam Page. I love that they call this the Eliminator Tournament, as if other tournaments don't eliminate things.
Yeah.
But it sounds really cool to say the Eliminator Tournament, doesn't it?
That sounds like the Mortal Kombat, like, pitfall at the end of a match. No, you're right. I was like, wait a minute. Yeah, they're all tournaments.
Yeah, every tournament's an Eliminator Tournament, but it sounds cool. That's important. I thought it was interesting. They had backstage promos. Kenny Omega, first in a house that he says wasn't his house or his dog, which was a weird little factoid to add. But it was an interesting thing. They mentioned that both the people that Kenny Omega beat weren't supposed to be the people he was supposed to face, which is kind of an interesting part of the story. I don't know how much of that was happenstance and how much of that was just like, you don't know how these things happen, but I love how he basically reminded us he wins every single tournament he's in and then asks us, the viewer, who do you got? And it's kind of like, well, yeah, I guess that's a, Yeah, I mean, I guess I did have Kenny Omega to win. Hangman on the other side, he was loose, relaxed, having a drink. I love how JR asks him his strategy, and he's like, I know all his moves. I know how to reverse them.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
Like, yeah, I guess that is the good.
I was on that shirt, bro. That shirt was on point.
Yeah. If you're gonna wear that shirt, though, you've got to wear the hell out of that shirt, like Hangman did. Mm-hmm. You can't just put that on and like not rock it, you know?
Yeah. I like how JR was looking at him like, man, you moderation? Mama said moderation.
Mama said moderation. Yeah, JR thinks Hangman's nervous. Do you think Hangman's nervous?
Yeah, why not? I think he's nervous. I mean, new Kenny Omega, I don't know if you can call him the cleaner yet, has been an absolute tear. He's got dances with brooms. I mean, I will be a little like uneven as well. You know, I mean, Jim Cornette hates the guy, but I'm on board with this.
We had that happen, and I thought it was fun. It was a good, I thought this was a good amount of promoting that match, because we know what we're getting. We know what's on the line. We know this is like a year in the making, this match. But they added something a little bit later in the night, and it happened after that tag team match. Of all people, Hangman Adam Page showed up, charging to the ring, locked and loaded to fight off FTR. And then Omega came out later. It was like backwards of how things used to be. Are we seeing the Elite getting back together? Are we seeing what's going on here? Am I just daydreaming of the idea of everyone becoming friends again? Or is Hangman need to keep his nose out of FTR business?
No, I don't think you're crazy or off your rocker at all. But I do think it's a red herring. It seems kind of cool to see that, you know, looking for a fight, nerves getting the best of them. But there's something else brewing. I'm not sure what it quite is, but the Elite coming back so soon, right now, overnight, seems kind of sus to me. That's two references this episode. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really sure.
You know what I think is going to happen?
Uh-oh.
I think Hangman's going to join FTR, and I think Cody's going to join FTR, and I think Tully is going to help Cody beat Darby Allin, and I think they're going to oust old Arn Anderson. Which is unfair because he's the same age as Tully. How dare I call him old Arn Anderson?
I was reading a stat that said like Bobby Lashley is 7 years older than what Arn was when he retired. And I was like, whoa, generations of wrestling.
It's insane how fit Bobby Lashley is. He looks like he's got another 15 years.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. Not about him. But the thing is, this new faction, what would you call it, Jack? I'm just curious.
Four Horsemen.
No, you can't do that.
Take it.
It's taken. It's taken.
Evolution.
Okay. That's taken too. I don't know.
I just say call them the Four Horsemen. Why not? Be the Four Horsemen.
It's copyrighted.
Is it?
I think so.
How? I mean, it's like a biblical reference.
Well, I guess if you call it some other like four with like F-O-R-E Horseman, but I think the Four Horsemen is a trademark. I believe so.
F-O-R-E.
Like, I think it's a trademark.
They dominate the golf course.
Slice. Oh, yeah. Hey, we have a question. What about Sean Spears, man? The chairman.
Oh, yeah.
Sean
Spears could do something. He could be in there. I like Sean Spears. He just, it's not like he's tearing it up, you know. I think his focus in reality is just on training now, and so I don't know if he's really positioning himself to take advantage of a role like that, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I've always liked Sean Spears. I'm a fan of his. It just seems like he's focusing on the training more is all I'm saying. But there's a few more must happens, by the way.
Okay. Hit me.
Kenny Omega must win the Eliminator Tournament.
As much as I don't want that to happen, yes. Because now you have Moxley Omega 2, but the stakes are different. So you got this brand new re-energized Kenny Omega that was never defeated since he changed his character. And then you have Mox, who has been on top of this mountain for the year because, frankly, he got momentum going when he beat Omega. So that to me is like your art number one with a bullet thing. Now, Hangman was right. No one gave him a shot a year ago. And I would love to see Hangman win this one. I really would. But I do think Kenny Omega has to win.
I agree with you on that one. Some people say it's predictable, but I've said before, predictable sometimes happens when you've got greatness, and that's what it is. I think it is a perfect alignment of a rematch that you want to see that's been built up, that's been recreated. I think it's going to feel bigger, badder, and better than their last matchup. Kenny Omega's he's hot right now. He's peaking right now. I don't mean peaking like this is the best he's ever going to be, but he's you know, you always want to be at your best during the biggest moments. And you'll see that with different, again, like sports teams. Teams like the Patriots of the last 20 years, they just seem to get hot right as the playoffs are happening. You know, LeBron James teams just start to get hot right as the playoffs are happening. It feels like Kenny Omega is getting hot right as his playoffs are starting. And it feels like this is his time to shine, where Hangman Adam Page, the beauty of him is he's this redemption story. And I think if he wins this, it takes away our chance to get to see a better, longer redemption story play out. I want to see this play out more. I think it'd be too quick if he suddenly got shot back up to the top. I want him to have to fight and earn it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Look, him fighting and earning it is something what you call like long-term or short-term storytelling. You could put him on a redemption story now. You could do it 5 months from now, 6 months from now, because, yeah, he's right. When AEW first started, he was supposed to be the guy. At least he was on the path to be the guy. Didn't happen. Jericho became champion. So that story is always going to be there, especially if Jericho is still around. So, yeah, again, he'll have his time in the sun. But I worry, like you're saying, how Kenny Omega's peaking. In his own way, Hangman Page is peaking. He's obviously the most dynamic outside of wrestling character, I think. Like, I would cosplay as Adam Hangman Page, despite the cowboy stuff, because it's kind of weird to explain that, being from Brooklyn. But I would do that of anyone else in the roster, because he's that good. His character is that rich. So I would love to see the best of the world for him, but it may be a long time.
You could have his exact outfit, and everyone would still just say, "Hey, are you the Old Town Road guy?" So the next thing they say, What Culture says, Omega must try to steal Moxley's thunder after Moxley retains. Does he have to come out?
Yes.
Makes sense.
Because it's two different halves of the storyline. Because if you have this tournament, and everyone knows what the trials and tribulations and the computations, Warlow got snuffed out, Fenix got snuffed out, so you have this winning thing, and then you have Moxie. What a war! He didn't say he quit. He's better. He's broken. Take it to his limit. What can he do next? Oh my gosh, here comes the super boss, the guy who's super hot from the long time. So hot he moved to a random house in Jacksonville to train. Kenny Omega, here's your matchup. Why not?
Yeah, they're going to need to build this as much as they can, as quick as they can, unless they plan on waiting until Revolution, which just seems like a long time to wait when we already have all the challengers and champions lined up. But, you know, I don't know. Sometimes when the holidays get in there, time seems to go by quick, and they might want to hold off until then. But, yeah, why not? I like seeing action. I like seeing things happen, and I like it when people stick it in people's craws at the ends of shows. I'd love to see the cleaner come out there and finger gun old John Moxley. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, after dark, Jack. I'm sticking it in cross. Finger.
Buttless chaps. Speaking of buttless chaps, no, this has nothing to do with buttless chaps. I want to talk about the AEW Women's Championship. Hikaru Shida is taking on Nyla Rose. I want to give a quick shout out to Red Velvet, by the way. She's teaming with Brandy now that Bunny has gone off and gone back to Butcher and the Blade. But Red Velvet's been doing a lot of great stuff on AEW Dark. So again, someone to check out if you're one of the people that talks about the AEW Women's Division needing more talent. Check out AEW Dark. She's been great. She's been kind of a rising star there. But the story here, Nyla Rose, Looks strong. Vicky, so great at being annoying on the microphone. And something that she said, Vicky said, was Tony Khan made Hikaru Shida accept the challenge, which is something I wish they kind of built into the story a little bit more. Sure. Instead of just dropping it at the end there. And that's kind of the story of the women's division in a lot of ways. And I think a lot of the reasons why some people have some gripes over the way it's been used. But watching this match, I thought Nyla Rose looks strong, but my notes for Shida are three question marks. It felt, she feels like an afterthought, even though she's been a dominant champion for months. Is that it's weird. Like she, I feel like as I go through my notes on paper, everything she has done has been great, but she feels like she's kind of slipped through the cracks of her own division.
Mm-hmm. Here's a situation about the AEW women's division, because I know it's a very loaded question. There's people that are believe it's trash, bro. It's poop. Forget about it. And there's this staunch defenders. So like, hey, look, AEW has made a lot of strides to build up that women's division. And to be fair to the AEW, they have. I would say over the past, I don't know, how long was this lockdown? 7 months after this?
You could have said 1,000 years. I don't know. It's been 1,000 years.
After the past 7 months, I think the division's actually built up. You had Hikaru Shida being as charismatic as she can, taking on all challengers, and that's great for a champion. But when you're the top of the division, like as opposed to TNT title, if you're the top mm-hmm. of your division and you flatten everyone that way, we start getting bored. You beat everyone. And you didn't beat everyone and drag out matches. You didn't beat anyone in these stipulations. You came in every week, did your job, and beat everyone. What do you have to do? You have to reheat Nyla Rose, which is the person she won the title before from the first place. You reheat Nyla Rose, who is a credible threat because of her size. She's a native beast. She got a very emphatic victory over Red Velvet. Turned her into Red Pudding. Bam. Flat. And so now we have this matchup. But to me, it just seems a bit disingenuous. And the main critical issue, and I'm not the only one to say this, but I do agree, is that it was telling that Thunder Rosa came to AEW and the NWA Women's title seemed bigger than the AEW championship. The NWA title hasn't been on TV defended in like 6 months, but the way Thunder Rosa carried herself, the way she can cut a promo, the way she was backstage, made that an attraction. Serena Deeb defended her title, and it wasn't even Thunder Rosa. We still tuned in to see what was going on. And so I got a feeling if I was working the book, as they say, going, look, we got to reset our division. Not Shida's fault. She's done everything we asked of her, but no one's talking about that. Like they're talking about Thunder Rosa. No one's talking about that. Like they're talking about Serena Deeb. We got to think mm-hmm. of something in our division as well.
I agree with you. And it's interesting how sometimes you can see like a star come in and it makes you reevaluate the star, other people. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how it felt with Thunder Rosa when she came in. It was like, wow, okay, this is someone who feels like the champion. And it really leads into the next thing that What Culture brought up. And they said, AEW must start focusing on their women's belt. I think we both agree with that. Yeah. You can't rent the title forever. And if you build up the NWA Women's Championship as this big, big thing, eventually it's going to go back to the NWA and you're going to be left with nothing. Right. But like you said, it feels like the NWA Women's Championship match that was announced is a bigger deal and more interesting than this one, to be fair. Mm-hmm. Nyla Rose must take the women's title.
I hate to say it, but yeah, if you're going to do this reset, it has to start with a whole new thing. And if you're going to give it to Nyla Rose, you got to double down on Nyla Rose. You can't just give it to her and just forget about it and have her drop it like you did last time. Like if she's going to be the native beast because it's a new mask or whatever with Vicky Guerrero, she has to be the monster of that division and start, and kind of counterintuitively, not work as much as Shida, you know, have matches every 3 weeks or every 4 weeks if need be. Cut the promos, staying around ringside, have Vicky cut promos, be that person you care. Give them actual time on commentary, like you do Jericho. Make her a big deal.
What if they had her retain and then in like 2 weeks lose it to someone else? Or have like Thunder Rosa debut and have Thunder Rosa take it?
I'll be fine with it. See, my problem with Nyla Rose, because I know a lot, Nyla Rose has a lot of detractors about her skill level and her range of motion. My thing was specifically at this case, it seems she came out of nowhere. She won those matches. I'm not trying to say she didn't earn her shot, but it seemed very hot shot, very fast that she got to challenge for the AEW Women's Championship. So if she'd have like fought it off, but it was so fatigued that she lost the next match, I'll get that. Much like how it happened with TNA with Eddie Edwards when he was a TNA champion. He wrestled every week, but he was just so tired. He couldn't make it happen, and he lost the championship out of like fatigue. So
I have nothing against Nyla Rose. I actually think she's great. I think she's a great option. It just feels like we've already seen it pretty recently. And to have Sheeta beat everybody and then lose it to Nyla Rose, who's already beaten everyone, and then would probably beat everyone again, you're kind of cutting the legs of the division off, as opposed to if someone else was the champion. Now you've got three former champions on the roster and three legit contenders going forward, you know?
So you think an interference then this weekend?
No, I think it'll end clean, and I think Nyla Rose will win, and I think it'll be fine. And I'm not against that. I just, as I'm thinking about it, it's like, okay, so Sheeta beats everyone, Nyla beat everyone, then Sheeta beat everybody, and now if Nyla gets it back and beats everyone again, it's like, okay, great, you have two people who are contenders, you know? Yeah. Where if Sheeta held on and like Britt Baker took it, then okay, now you got three. Or if you have Thunder Rosa come in and take it, okay, now you've got three plus Swole plus Britt Baker. Now you've, and maybe Statlander coming back. Okay, now you've got a division. But if it's just going back and forth between those two, it's almost like a smaller version of what's kind of happens with the WWE with the four horsewomen, who are all great, but it's like they kind of just trade the title amongst themselves and squash everyone else, you know?
Yeah.
It's a smaller version of that. And with four people, you can get away with it for quite a bit longer than you can with just two people.
Yeah.
Would be my fear, but I'm happy with either. I like both of them, so I feel like I'm going to win no matter what. or I'm going to lose no matter what. The fans win. We're running low on time, so we're going to have to get through these. I knew this was going to be a stacked show. Chris Jericho versus MJF. Man, this is a stacked card if we're just now getting to this. I felt like MJF felt like the bigger, stronger option over Sammy the whole time. And I loved that he attacked Jericho after the match. Wardlow, I thought, came off as the coolest looking, biggest, awesome dude in that match as well. And Sammy actually felt like an underdog in this match. Chris Jericho, MJF, if MJF wins, he's in the inner circle. I have a feeling MJF's going to pull a fast one to get the win. Because he's a cheater and he kind of alluded to the fact he's going to do whatever it takes to win. Plus, sure, the story kind of stops dead if MJF doesn't win.
So, thanks for considering my application.
Thanks, guys. Bye. Yeah. As he goes to the Dark Order, Brody Lee, if I beat you, can I join the Dark Order? So that said, what do you think about this match? Any hot takes? I feel like it's kind of I feel like MJF has to win, right?
Yeah, he's going to win. I'm not sure how. I mean, I can't buy Jericho just beating MJF to a pulp, you know, after hearing him on commentary this week. I want to see him get beat. So I hope MJF wins.
I think that's what's going to happen. They say, and what culture says, MJF must beat Jericho. I don't think he must beat him because I feel like those two are so entertaining, they'll make anything work. But I do think MJF beats him. And I do think that starts to sow the seeds of dissension when he says, hey, Proud and Powerful, I beat Jericho. Why is he the guy we're following?
I like it.
We got Matt Hardy versus Sammy Guevara in a Elite Deletion match. I thought Matt Hardy was quite the villain today, wearing a mask and attacking Sammy from behind. But Sammy did get revenge later. What Culture says, Elite Deletion must be something to break up the card. And they uttered the word cinematic. Do you want to see it be a cinematic? And I have a feeling Sammy Guevara loses this. I have a feeling Sammy Guevara is going to go on a bit of a losing streak before getting kicked out of the inner circle. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, Sammy Guevara is losing this one. Elite Deletion has to be cinematic because it was the original one. And all the ones were cinematic before we had a word for those things. As far as it coming in the middle, I'm okay with that. I'm fine with having it being the second match spot. I'm fine with it being the breaking up of the main events towards the end of the card. But yeah, it's not the main event, and it shouldn't open the show, unlike Tooth and Nail, which is why I don't know why that was the first match for that card.
tooth and nail. Oh yeah. Oh, I had to take a second to think about that one. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of taking a second to think about something, John Silver of the Dark Order, he's the shorter one with the shaved head and is like a muscle hamster, has a match against Orange Cassidy. Feels kind of like a random thrown in thing, but John Silver, I did want to give him a shout out. He seems to be breaking away from the rest of the Dark Order and really showing off his kind of his personality. He's not wearing the mask anymore. They're not calling him Four as much. They're calling him John Silver. So I think he's obviously doing something right, but this, I mean, come on. Orange Cassidy's going to beat him, right?
I hope so. He didn't look particularly strong. The last time I saw Orange Cassidy, he was on his back twice, you know, this weekend, yeah, his title event. So, yeah, look, I'm okay with the upset here. Even though I may seem like I poo-poo Orange Cassidy, I'm okay with someone who was getting warm, being shouted out in his group, adding a layer of color to the group if he stays in it. Why not give him the silver? Give him a shot.
Yeah, I mean, why not? I agree, but I feel like Orange Cassidy is going to win here. I did want to give a quick shout out as well to one, Billy Gunn. I feel like they could still get mileage out of him if he wanted to get back in the ring. I was shocked that he's 57 years old. The guy's almost
really
60.
Whoa,
dude, he's 57.
Yeah.
And he looks like he could have a run right now and be fine. Like, he was great in the ring, I thought. I guess so. I mean, I don't know how the joints handle that kind of beating, though. That's the sticking point as you get older, folks. As you get older, your joints start to become a problem. It's not just about being tough. Austin Gunn, though, got a big pin here. I thought that was kind of interesting. I wonder if he's going to have a rivalry with the Dark Order himself, which I think an Austin Theory or Austin Gunn.
Who's Austin Theory? Well, the Dark Order is a cool level one boss. Why not?
And we'll end it with the big news here. So much stuff I didn't even get to. Miro looking like a jacked monster, and Kip Sabian and Taz and all them. But I do want to say, announced today, I think this is a huge deal for AEW if they're able to turn it into a full-time talent joining them. NWA Women's World Championship, Serena Deeb going against Allison Kay. On the pre-show, Allison Kay just announced she's a free agent. So AEW getting kind of first crack at her to possibly getting her to join their roster. I feel like Serena Deeb's going to retain. Like, this seems like a slam dunk as well, because she's not going to lose it in her second match to someone who just left the NWA. Right. But what does this mean for potentially bolstering again the AEW women's division?
Yeah, I think that's a lot of seeds here. If Allison Kay will get signed or re-signed, or maybe Serena Deeb might keep that working agreement if she's on loan, I'm not really sure. But again, we talked about two halves women's division. This may be the bridge, but I'm still bullish on what the potential is for that brand.
Yeah, it's very, like I said, this is the pre-show, but I'm already way more interested in that match than the other women's championship. And so hopefully that's something they can rectify. Flobo, you've stayed your hour. I appreciate you. Didn't even get a chance to talk about Pac and his maddening promo and all that good stuff. But let the world know where they can find you.
Oh, you can find this guy tomorrow at 1 p.m., I think, Pacific, for Draped in Gold, starring myself and my partner in broadcast crime, Jack Farmer. You can follow him at Real Jack Farmer, but he'll tell you all about that himself.
Hi, my name is Jack Farmer. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. You can check me out on the Everything Tournament, typically on Tuesdays, but today it was today. Usually it's on Tuesdays. I have a graphic on there now. I'm part of the team. I have a family. You can also check me out here. You can also check me out on Draped in Gold with Flobo on Thursday, where we're going to talk all about NXT. And you can also check me out on the Anytime Radio show. You can check out all the episodes at anytimeradio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that does it for us. And until next time, do your best and be yourself.